we're going to continue the series that I started about last Sunday. And I want you to put this about God. God is our Father, Jesus is the Son, and we are family. And how God wants to put into our hearts and establish us well in who we are in identity. Because revival is something that we have a heart for and that we believe in. To me, revival is when God breaks out in unprecedented favor. That's just another way of saying it. When he comes into situations and he brings favor and power and glory when we least, sometimes when we don't even expect it. So let's go on to that. And I'm going to go through this to review. Okay, identity and fatherhood, the heart of the gospel. Remember that Jesus got the Pharisees the maddest when he talked about himself being the Son of God. Because when you talk about God as your daddy, everybody say, God is my daddy. Yeah, that makes you somebody special, doesn't it? Someone else better. Amen over here. Yeah, when you make God, when you declare God as your daddy, that makes you somebody special, doesn't it? And that's what got them mad. And sometimes you know just how good you're doing in a situation by how mad the people are around you, right? Because you're telling the truth. Amen. And so next, let's go to the next slide. It says, our room is not a guest room in the Father's house. My room is not a guest room in Papa's house. It's my room. Everybody say, my room. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, not just somebody. I'm not a somebody. Come on, say it. I'm not a nobody. Come on, I'm part of the body of Christ. I'm his, him and his child. He called us by name before we were even born. He knew. You think God didn't know what your name was? He knew. Called you by name before you were even born. Okay, next. Jesus is the way and the Father is the destination. Remember, when we get saved, I know heaven is a great place and I know I'm going there. But it's the reason why I'm happy about going to heaven, because that's where Papa God is. That's where my Father is. And my brothers and sisters that have gone on before me, I'm going there because Jesus made a room that's got my name on it. It's got my place. It's for me. And he says, I am the way, because nobody's coming to the Father except through me. So we're coming to the Father. Let's not argue about how we're getting there in that respect. Jesus said, it's me. Well, how can you get to the Father except through the Son? That's how you get there. Because he's the Son. He knows the way. And then we're not orphans. Jesus says, I'm not leaving you as orphans and I will come. And so we're excited about the fact is that we are not orphans. We are not fatherless. We have our Father who is in heaven, and although we don't see Jesus with the natural eyes, we have the Holy Spirit in us. Next. And we are family. Why? It says why we're family. Let me just tell you something. I thank God about the human race family, but I thank God a whole lot more about the family of God. Because this human race got some problems. It does. And it's done some bad stuff. The first daddy, Adam, kind of messed up a whole lot. So I appreciate history. I appreciate my father. Finally got up to Rocky Mount Courthouse to check on one of my ancestors that was a Baptist preacher up there. Children's bread. So we're going to talk about the children's bread. So take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 119. I'm just going to do a quick scripture here, and then we're going to hit in Mark chapter 7. But Psalm 119 says this, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I have kept thy word. And again, in verse 71, it's good for me that I've been afflicted. What? Pain is good? Yes, not all pain will hurt you. Some pain will help you. Somebody say, amen. Come on. Not all pain is bad. not all pain will harm you. And I used to coach a lot of tennis, and I used to talk about that when I'd say to you, sometimes you're going to feel some pain as long as you don't feel it hurting you. And I made a distinction between the pain that made you stronger and the harm that injured you. And once the guys got that idea, the women and the men got that idea, they grew. Because you ain't going to make a muscle grow unless you make it uncomfortable. Yep, amen. Amen. That's how it's going to work. It's pain. It takes hurt. But you don't want to harm it. And so God has things for us in both of those scriptures in Psalm 119. What does the hurt, the pain cause you to do? Go to grow by going to His what? His Word. Let the pain take you to the Word. Let it drive you more into the Word, because there are times when you got to dig deeper in order to get what God has for you. Let me say that again. Sometimes God has to cause you to dig deeper in the Word so that you can get what God has for you. Because I got news for you. I've been walking with the Lord for some time. I don't want to say how many years. Can't think of it off the top of my head. But since 1974, when I got saved, right? You can do the math. Now, but there are times, even now, when there's some uncomfortable situations, either in my body or in my head or somewhere, that I got to press through that, because it's causing me to go back to the Word in a fresh way, because God has got something new to tell me. Because I don't know everything. Amen. Some say the amen, Pastor. We know that. Don't agree too much with me on that now. We really know you don't know everything. No, just say that. Okay, here we go. So let's turn to Mark chapter 7, and we're going to talk about the children's bread. The children's bread. And here's what I feel like the Lord wants to tell us today and us to really understand. The Lord wants us to learn that we can't live by natural bread only. That we can't live by what we see and what we experience every day. We can't get so caught up in the normal everyday of life that we can't press into the place that God wants us to have, which is to be able to hear every word. Everybody say every word. Not just some words. Not just some words. God has called you and me to hear every word that proceeds out of God's mouth. Not just some words. Not just what you want to hear. Not just the easy words. Not just the, you know, He wants you to hear every words that proceed out of the mouth of God. That means to hear preceding words, you got to be near Him to hear them. You got to be near Him to hear them. You can't just, you know, well, God, you said that. Yeah, you said that a long time ago. But what are you saying today? That's why our church, we call our church a prophetic church. We are a prophetic, not pathetic, prophetic church. We are prophetic because we believe the word pro means to proceed. As we get the word proceed, to go forward. We believe in the proceeding prophetic word of the Lord that comes to you now. Are you saying to me now? And He may take you to a scripture. And he may show you something. He may give you a vision. He may give you a sense in your word. Someone may call you up and give you something. And you're going, wow, I feel like God's trying to talk to me about something. But it has to agree with the written word. It always flows together. God never contradicts His word, His written word, as long as we're understanding it properly. And we don't always understand God's word properly. So, God wants our bodies to be free. He wants our minds to be free. And He wants our spirits to be free. And in order to do that, He's got to get us to the place where we can hear every word that God has for us. Can we just ask the Lord that right now? Can we just make a commitment? Lord, I don't want to hear some words from you. I want to hear every word that comes out of your mouth. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to just like study. Okay? There, like I said, the scriptures say in Psalm 119 that affliction will cause you to go to the word afresh. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I'm hearing your word. See? Something about disappointments, something about struggles, something about that will cause us to wake up and say, you know what? I got to do something differently. What I'm doing is not working. Come on, you got to just say, yeah. Or maybe you got to say, hey, I'm doing pretty good, but there's more that I've got to do here in what God wants me to have. So, for example, in Mark chapter 7 and the story of the Syrophoenician woman's faith, let's go to Mark 7, verse 24. It says that Jesus went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. That's the north part of Israel, actually, in what is now called Lebanon. He entered a house, didn't want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. I'll preach just right there, but I'm going to skip over that. It says, immediately a woman whose little daughter, everybody say daughter. She was a mommy. She was a mommy. So I want you to hear me on this. In this story is going to be a lot about moms and dads and kids, not orphans, because this daughter was her daughter. And this mother would do anything. And she heard that Jesus was in her town. He normally hung out in Judah and in Galilee, but he was out of the country. And word had gotten to her up there that this man Jesus was there. And I believe that this woman was a God-fearing woman. Even though she was a Gentile, she was a God-fearing Gentile. She knew about the Lord. She knew about Israel. She knew about those things. Just like the centurion was a God-fearing centurion, even though he wasn't a Jew, he honored what God was doing. I believe this woman was the same kind of woman. Okay? And so she wanted to get the devil out of her daughter. How many of you moms know, if you see a devil in one of your kids, you want him out, don't you? I mean, that's the most important thing. It's not just, and I think there's a reason here that it was a devil in afflicted girl. It wasn't just a sick girl. It wasn't just a girl with a disease. It was a devil-inspired situation that this woman wanted to deal with. Amen. Praise the Lord. So what happened? She was born a Gentile. She was born a Gentile. She was Syrophoenician by birth. Notice twice. The Mark wants you to know this woman is not a Jew. She is not entitled to the ministry of Jesus. She wasn't. Jesus says, I wasn't sent to you. I was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. So he was there. God sent him to a Gentile town and he wanted to be hidden. But God said, no, you're not going to be hidden here. God had something for Jesus in that town. And I believe it was this woman. He wanted her to find Jesus. God was just, you know, but Jesus just doing what God telling him to do. And so here she is. She begged him. And it says that in Matthew, it says that she knelt before him. She came down and she humbled herself. The word for worship was used. She worshiped him. She worshiped him. And she said to him, what does she say? Cast the demon out of my daughter. Which I think it's interesting to use in the same word for casting demons out and casting bread. We'll see that in a sense that cast that demon out of here. out of my life, and her daughter, not a girl, not a woman, out of my daughter. Healing for the family. Healing is for God's family. And so this is the issue I want you to see about this passage, that healing is the children's bread. Not just anybody's bread. Healing is the children's bread. And we need to see the healing power of God as something that is on our table when we're sitting in Papa's house. That's what he serves to us. That's the kind of bread we eat in our Father's house. Not just any kind of bread. It's the healing bread. This bread that we took today was the healing bread. It's the bread that brings us this healing. Why? Because we are sons and daughters of God. And it's at our table. Praise God. And so she's contending for her daughter because she's a mama. Glory to God. And then Jesus, look what Jesus said. He said, let the children be fed first. So we learn a principle from the words of Jesus. The sons and daughters, the children get fed first. Glory to God. That means when you are coming to God as a son and a daughter, you're getting the first bit of bread that's coming out of that oven. Praise God. And you know it's good. It's going to be fresh. It's going to be because you're the one getting fed first. But Jesus said, let the children be fed first. Healing is the first thing that God has for you as a daughter of God, as a son of God. And he's given her this teaching, this word. But guess what? Word don't apply to you, girl. Does it? Or does it? Hear what I'm saying? Let the children be first, for it is not right to take the children's bread. There it is. Everybody say children's bread. And throw it to the dogs. Which is true. You ain't going to take something out of the oven and you give it right first to the dog. I already make a practice for little Bo. Because he sits there and sticks his ears out at me. He looks at me real sad, you know. He gives the old sad, you know, like sad sack thing. I'm just so sad. Would stick his ears out. So I tell him, I said, you're getting my last bite, Bo. It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the crumbs. Right. Throw it to the dogs. Right. Excuse me. Throw the bread, whatever. Then she answered, yes, Lord. I love this. Here's what she did. She agreed with him. Why? Because Jesus is the word. She didn't say, no, Lord. Give me that bread, boy. She said, yes, Lord. But, or yet. This is the yes and of faith. The yes and of faith says, things are not going my way yet. Come on now. Things aren't happening my way yet. Faith takes you from the no, Lord, to the yes, yet, takes you another level of faith. I was afflicted, but now I'm doing the word. When I was afflicted, now I sought him and I found out the yet. The additional step that I need to make to step into the promises of God. Too many Christians stop. And they say, they don't, either they say yes, Lord, and don't say yet. Or they just say no, Lord, and they get mad at God. And they say, why did you do this, Lord? He didn't do it. Healing is the children's bread. And she knew that she had to step into the children's bread. And the way she did it was by humbling herself and saying, even the dogs eat the leftovers or the crumbs that fall. She knew that healing was hers. And she realized that she could be a child of God. She realized that Jesus could minister to her. And he said to her, for this statement, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter. And notice what she said. And she went home and found the child, the daughter, the little one, laying in bed with the demon gone. Praise God. Demon's gone. Laying in bed with the demon gone. You can press in to your portion. Do not refuse the blood-purchased portion of health in Christ that is to you. Don't throw it away. Press into it. There's life and healing in the bread of God. The bread of God is his word, right? Yes. So now I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to just take it a little farther. Okay? Got two more scriptures for you. Wow. Remember she said the yes and of faith, which said to her, yes, Lord, this is your word, and I'm still getting it in spite of my understanding right now. I'm going to press into a deeper, better understanding of the word. Okay, now Matthew 7, verse 6. Do not give dogs. See, remember he was talking about she talked about the dogs getting the crumbs? Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them and underfoot and turn to attack you. Notice, then he says this, ask. Be careful with the Bibles you read sometimes because they put chapter headings when they weren't in the scripture. I believe that verse 6 and verse 7 go together. Don't make a big break there. So what Jesus is saying, don't give dogs what's holy, and don't throw your pearls before pigs lest they trample you. Ask. Seek. Knock. Jesus is not going to give what you don't want. The whole point of not casting your pearls before pigs and your bread, it says, don't give dogs what's holy. Why? They don't want it. Right? What do they do with it? They trample them. They don't value it. They don't see it as something that they want. Don't give somebody something they don't want. Don't give it to them. Don't try to give it to them. Why? They don't see the value in it. They don't see that they need it desperately. That's the point. Dogs and pigs don't want what God has for them. Don't try to give it to them. So then what does he say? Ask. 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 The opposite of trampling is asking. I don't want this. Jesus said, I want you to be a people who ask. Yes. I want you to be a people who seek. I want you to be a people who knock. You're motivated. You want this. That wanting it so bad that you're willing to knock, that you're willing to seek, that you're willing to ask. God wants you to want it so bad that you'll ask. Because he wants to see, do you really want to be healed? Do you really want it? How bad do you want it? And sometimes I think as Christians, we don't want it enough. Okay, Lord, We don't tell God we want it. We don't do what it takes. We don't ask. Oh my. All right, he goes on. Which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven? Again, this is a sonship issue. This is a child issue. Healing is the children's bread. The children's bread. Not just anybody's bread. It's the children's bread. And he says, if your father knows how to give good gifts, if man, evil man knows how to do good gifts, right? How much more will your father give good things to those who ask him? So, how do we show the father that he is good? How do we show him? By asking him for things. By seeking things. By knocking for things. By showing just how much we really want healing. How badly do you want it? Will you be put off by a circumstance? Will you be put off by a misunderstanding of a scripture or the way you feel like Jesus is treating you? And I believe that Christians many times blame God for bad stuff. They blame him. That God just gave me a stone. God gave me a serpent in this situation. He told me I was going to have a blessed life. And look what just happened to my car. And I don't have any money. And I don't know what I'm going to do. And what are they? You see what I'm saying? You start blaming God for serpents and stones. But God didn't give you the stone. And God didn't give you the serpent. But you're blaming him for it. So what's the answer? Ask for the fish. Ask for the bread. Ask for it and know that God is not giving you a stone in your life. And we all have stones in our lives. Come on. We all have challenges in our lives. We all have dealing that we have to deal with sickness and weakness and people treating us bad. God did not give you stones in your life. But you have to ask and get beyond the pain of the stone so that you can learn from his word and go beyond where you're at. He wants you to get beyond with your understanding because he didn't give you that serpent either. That wasn't God either. God didn't give the serpent to Eve and Adam in the garden, did they? He didn't give it to Eve. He didn't tell the serpent, go talk to Eve. He didn't tell her that. He just said, don't eat of the tree. Don't do it. Amen. Come on. I feel like I'm pushing down a wall right now in the spirit on people's breakthrough. I'm believing God for a breakthrough in your faith and a breakthrough in your understanding of who you are so that when you go to God, you're going to ask him for stuff that you just didn't ask him before because somehow you thought he'd put some stones in your life and you need to stop blaming God for the stones that you've had along your way, or about sickness that you've had to deal with or disappointment you had to deal with or people treating you wrong or whatever it is you're dealing with. God wants you to ask him and seek him and knock if you have to. Knock if you have to. Get in front of that door and knock until it opens. It means you got to go somewhere. Learn to ask as children, not orphans. Orphans try to manipulate people to give them stuff. Come on, you know that all the time. I get calls all the time from orphans trying to manipulate me to get stuff to give to them. Because we're a church. Oh, we love people. Yeah, so I'm just going to manipulate you to give me money because I'm an orphan and I got to lie, cheat, and do whatever it takes to get money out of your little cold, hard hand. It's true. You see them everywhere. But God doesn't want us to be manipulators of his word. He wants us to have integrity and go through the pain that God has allowed to come in our lives. Go through that pain and seek his word even more and get what God wants for us to have. Come on. Praise God. It's time to get away from all this stuff about stones. Glory to God. Ask his children. Children receive what they ask for. It's not a big deal. Daddy's going to get it for me. Look what that girl's mama did for her. She found Jesus in her hometown, and she persisted when Jesus gave her a word that wasn't that encouraging, was it? Well, it's just children's bread. Well, guess what? I may not look like a child, but I'm not going to look at myself like I'm out of the... You know what I mean? She decided not to look at herself with a natural eye. She said, I may look like a Gentile, I may smell like a Gentile, I may dress like a Gentile, but I am a God's child and I'm going to get that children's bread for my daughter. See, she refused to see herself as the world saw her. She saw herself as a child of God. And she wanted to get her inheritance, praise God. Hallelujah. Wow. Ask as a child of God, not as an orphan. Well, you got to like manipulate the Lord. Well, if he feels like it, I'll get it. Don't get mad at God when you see a stone in your life. Press in to his word. Amen. God's got some fish and he's got some bread for you. And you're the first one to get it when it comes out of the oven. Praise God. All right, now let's go. Verse 4, Matthew chapter 4, verse 3. We're going to finish it right here. Praise God. Finish it right here. Matthew 4, verse 3. This is the first temptation that Jesus had to deal with, had to do with his sonship, who he was. And the devil tested Jesus about his sonship. And the devil will test you about your sonship. All right. I want to show you something. The Lord showed me something that I've never seen before. It's cool. It's always something fresh in the Word of God. Always. 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 So the tempter came. Notice he wasn't called the devil there. He was called the tempter because that's what he was doing. And he came to him and said to him, if you are the son, if you're a child of God, if you're not an orphan, command these stones to become loaves of bread. And he answered this. Man shall not live by bread alone. There's every word. Everybody say every word. Don't just take a word. Take every word from God and then work off of every word to get what God has for you. Every word that comes from the mouth of God. So he didn't do it. He wasn't focused on the bread alone. He wasn't focused on his need or his bread alone. He was hungry. He had been fasting for 40 days. He was hungry. He wasn't focusing just on the bread issue. Hunger was not the only thing that he cared about. And when you're facing a situation, whether you don't have money for something or whether you've got a messed up relationship, or whether you're dealing with a health issue, or you're dealing whatever need it has, don't focus on that alone, because that's not what's going to take you to where God wants you to be. It says, focus on every word that God proceeds out of his mouth to you, and God will take care of your hunger. Maybe not the way you think, but he'll take care of it. Because it says after there, it says angels came and ministered to him. Guess what I believe they had with them when he ministered to him? Bread. Angel bread. Angel cake, right? Angel food. They probably had manna. I don't know what they had, but it was good because Jesus, I believe he was eaten when those angels came at the end. So it was just a matter of timing here. That's all. That means your hunger or whatever your need is going to be met. Just when, or it may not be timing, or it may be the way that God wants to meet it. And I want you to see this thing. The Lord showed me this, and I think it has to do with prayer. When the children's bread is every word from the mouth of God, not just what we want to hear God say. And he was willing to put his hunger, his natural hunger or need, under the lordship of God. God, whatever's coming out of your mouth right now, I'm going to take because I know that you are my daddy and you're not going to let me go hungry. You're not going to do it. You are going to minister to me and we need every word. Now, look what he said. The devil tempted him. to make a command. The devil tempted him to command instead of listen. I believe we can be, Christians can be provoked or tempted by the devil to issue commands that aren't God. Aren't God. See, a command comes from you inside of you standing in your authority. But when you ask, you're doing it out of your identity and your relationship with Father. And Father didn't tell him to command the stones. The devil told him to command the stones. There's a difference between making commands. We've got to know when God's telling us to make a command, right? Or when he's telling us to ask and seek. That is the word of the Lord for you and me. Sometimes we command when God wants us to ask. Why? Because we think we know, but we don't know. Don't command a situation when you don't have the word of the Lord. Have you been sitting at the mouth of Jesus? Have you heard every word that's come from his mouth? Or are you just stepping out and just doing the routine thing? Come on. Well, so-and-so did it. Well, you're not so-and-so. You're not so-and-so. God has a word for you because you're his child. Flow out of the relationship with Papa God. Why am I a king with Jesus? Because I was born that way. Remember the wise men said, where is the man who was born king of the Jews? Born. I was born a king. If I'm born a king, then one of the first things I got to learn to do is don't make a command unless I really, really, really know that I should be commanding this situation. Because Jesus said, ask, seek, knock. That's just as important as commanding. And I believe in making commands by the authority of the Lord. I do. I believe in that. Don't get me wrong. But we need to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear what's coming out of his mouth so that we don't be provoked by the tempter to command something when God has already got the angels on the way with our food. Don't mess up what God's doing. He's got them angels coming your way. They're not there exactly when you want them, but don't do it. Let the angels bring it. Don't you do it yourself. God's going to do it for you. He wants to do it. Why? Because of who you are. I've seen situations where things didn't go the way I thought they should go. How many of you have situations like that? And your first, and here's what I call it. I call it the prayer of whatever sticks to the wall. I'll just throw everything at the wall and hope that something works. That's the prayer meeting. I don't like that kind of prayer meeting. Shotgun prayer. I hope, hunters, yeah. Just hopefully you got a big enough path of shotgun that you might hit something good. But I believe I believe that God can give us a sniper rifle instead of a shotgun. Come on now. We need to have the Holy Ghost sniper rifle of the preceding word of God. Amen? Amen. I just want to bless you with that because I believe this church, we're going to see amazing miracles of healing, amazing miracles of deliverance, amazing miracles because we are his children and God takes care of his kids. And the devil wants us to act like orphans and try to command our way out of the will of God. You know what I'm saying? Instead of just hearing the voice of God and asking and knocking and seeking and finding what it is that God wants us to say in a situation and deal with a situation. I just one more example in my life and then you're going to go. Listen, when I was planning that trip to Rwanda, okay, I was telling Mary Ann the other day, I was like, Lord, I am leading a worship school. I've got the team together. I was working really hard to get everybody together, and thank you for everybody who's prayed into it, blessed us, helped us out with everything. But I said, I've got a worship school I'm doing. Well, should I bring my notes? Should I get the curriculum set? Should I get this? You know, I mean, my brain normally as a teacher, when you're going to do a school, you've got to have a curriculum. You got to have everything laid out. You got to say who's doing what and all the administrative stuff. Oh, who's going to teach this? Who's going to teach this? Well, I know this one guy. I never met him, but I think he's going to be really good. I feel it's the Lord. And then so-and-so is coming and all this is coming. I did not have any of that stuff. I mean, I've got my worship curriculum. I've taught for years since the 80s. Okay. I said, Lord, do I bring it? And the Lord said, no, don't bring it. Don't bring it. Don't bring it. I said, okay, Lord. You know, don't worry about it. He said, just don't go. Don't worry about it. I had a lot of other things I was taking care of doing. You know what I'm saying? We were just had a conference and all this stuff. So I get there to Rwanda, right? And Tuesday night, I'm okay. We get there Tuesday. And then Wednesday, I start feeling this little thing right here in my throat. And then by Wednesday night, I was feeling like someone had just knocked me over the head. And I was getting all this drip. And I knew that if I didn't rest, I would lose my voice and that'd be done for the rest of the week. I know it. I just know it because when that thing hits me in my throat, I get them every couple of years, whenever. I don't know. But in any case, I knew I had to do something. So I just rested. I was with the team. And the whole thing started. So what happens? Shua, God bless him, just rises up like mighty man, you know. And he takes charge and leads the school. Just like that. And everybody on the team knew exactly what they were going to do. They just automatically just went, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Nobody told them. They just did it. They didn't need a curriculum. They didn't need anybody to tell them what to do. The Holy Ghost in them told them what to do. And he knocked me down to show me that sometimes when you're at your weakest, God is at his strongest. And not to go by the natural man or how you are by the natural, but to go by the Holy Spirit. I mean, if I can win a battle, if I'm in a fight with somebody and all I do is flick my finger to whoop somebody, isn't that better than doing all the fancy moves and stuff like that? Well, that's what God did with the devil. He took care of it. And I see that in my life. That is unprecedented favor. You didn't do everything right. Yes, I know. But God did. God did. It's not about me. It's not about what I do and how I can do it so anybody can pat me on the back. I don't care about that. Because God cares. God is in charge. God wants to encourage you when you see with a natural man that things aren't going the way you think they should be going. He wants to encourage you not to see yourself like other people see you, to see you who you are in God. Amen? And I want to bless you as you go in that. I want to bless you to realize that you can have healing because of who you are and because of who God made you to be. And you don't have to be a slave to sin. You don't have to be a slave in your body. He wants to touch your body. He wants to touch your mind. And he wants to touch your spirit. Amen. Because healing is the children's bread. Can you stand up and praise God for that? Healing is the children's bread. Healing of your body and healing of your mind. Healing of everything about you. You don't have to be sick.